Please stand up. Come this way. All children, come this way. I have a question for you. Remember, I gave you a present last week, and that's what I want to talk about for just a second. Miss Connie, I hope it's okay. So, guys, I asked you last week to give me a Bible or share with me a Bible verse, and you memorized it. So we're all going to say it together, okay? What was it? Hebrews 13:8, right? And it goes like this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Is that what we mean? Now turn around and face him and tell our sanctuary and all these precious folks what Hebrews 13:8 says. Jesus Christ, the same. One more time. Jesus Christ, the same. Why, you did that great. Proud of you. Thank you for being here today. And we'll let you go with Miss Connie to Kids Church. You guys are a blessing around here. And while they're going down, I want to say thank you to all of you who helped with this gem sale that we did this weekend. My, what a lot of work. And you guys worked hard. Kids, again, you were there and made that happen, so thank you. Great church, great work. God bless you. Oakcrest Baptist Church, serving our precious Lord. I want to ask you also to be in prayer for Vern and Lori and our baby Gunner who had surgery. Was it Saturday that the surgery happened? Okay, so they did that on a Saturday, and we want to keep Gunner and them in. I am not Vern. Some of you may read that in the bulletin. Matter of fact, we're talking about Dr. Vern, so we want to congratulate him when you see him from getting that degree. And also want to ask you to pray for Jim McLean. Miss Ruby passed away, as you probably know, and we're going to be planning a funeral service for her. That will be Friday. This coming Friday, they'll do a viewing at 10 o'clock, and then the funeral service will be at 11. That's the plan so far for this service. Jim and I and Brother John are trying to work this out, and we don't know all the details yet, but I think that's the plan. If it changes, it'd be a good idea for you to check with the office just to confirm that it is Friday at those times, okay, at 10 o'clock for view and 11 o'clock for the service. I'm not sure if Jim had talked with the funeral home and okayed that, but that's what he okayed with us and got it okayed on the calendar here for church. But he was pretty sure that they could do that for him. So anyhow, I'm just letting you know what those times are, okay? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians. And while you're turning to Philippians chapter 2, I want to ask you to let's pray for these two things, if you'll join me. Precious Lord, we want to thank you for being with Vern and Lori and their baby. I ask you to continue to heal Gunner and help him to get well. But we know that you're the great physician and you're the one that heals. So we're grateful and we humbly ask you to bless him and heal him. Thank you for the doctors and nurses that are ministering to him. But I do pray for your healing touch on little Gunner to get better soon. And I also ask you, Lord, to be with Brother Jim McLean, for he and his family, they need you now as they make a major adjustment to you sending his wife to heaven where you are. So as he adjusts and his family adjusts, I pray you'll bless them through this experience. But thank you for always being there near us and for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you would join me as we look in God's Word in Philippians chapter 2. So much here that is important for us, but I can't share it all because you'd probably get after me if I did. But I do want to share a couple of things that we already looked at. As we looked in last week, we had the privilege to share God's Word with you. And in those verses coming out of Philippians 2, we shared a couple of things with you. And one of the main things I wanted to share with you, it's about others first. We talk about a submissive mind in this chapter. Before we talked about a single mind. Single mind is when I say for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's all about Christ and what he is doing in my life and how privileged I am to get to serve him. So Paul is saying a single mind says, I am so glad that I know Christ and I know where I'm going and I know there's a place called heaven. So for me to live, well, that's okay. You know, if I get to live longer in church family, if God gives you more time, then you get to serve the Lord and you get to help other people. And that's what it's all about. So it's about others first. So the submissive mind, a single mind is I get to go to heaven. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's a single mind. But the submissive mind, it says, now I'm going to put others first. The submissive mind says, God first, me second, our other second, and me third. Boy, it's easy to mix that up, isn't it? You ever mixed it up like I just did? It's God first and then me and then others. But God says, no, no, that's not the way we do this. See, there was some problems going in the church of Philippi, and it had to do with a little disunity. There was some argument of some kind that was going on, and the doctrine and the things that Paul was teaching. And it was a great place, Philippians was, and they were very supportive of Paul, and he was trying his best to send a letter to them, thank them for all they'd done for him, and add a couple of things that was very important. And one of those was unity. Very important to keep unity. Oak Crest Baptist Church, listen, it is so important that we stand united in all that we do together. And it's important for families to be united. It's important for churches to be united. And lastly, it's just so important for a nation to be united. And so we want to keep that going. You know, the unity, we live in a country, we call it United States of America. And because we're united, God knows how important that is for us. And so I encourage you, let's stand together on one mighty thing, and that's trusting our Lord and Savior for everything we have and everything we do. In our nation, if our leaders would go into a chamber somewhere and have some prayer time every morning and then start making decisions on our behalf, we'd be a united nation, a United States again. And I pray that we can continue to do that, have a leadership in our country and our nation. We'll go in a chamber somewhere and have prayer together. Or chambers, if there's more than one division of that. Hey, I got an idea. How about the Democrats go in the Republicans' room and they pray together? The Republicans go in the Democrat room and they pray in there. Wouldn't that be cool? So we come out of there, we'd be a united nation, okay? That makes sense? I wouldn't care if you was a Democrat, a Republican, or I don't know what to think. Whatever you were, all you got to do is get before God on your knees when you come out of there. He'll tell you the right thing to do, and he'll pass it on to us. Well, let me go on to say something really important to you, and this comes from God's word about unity and keeping unity. That is to put others first. You're not so special that it's always about you, and if we're not careful, that tends to be what we do in our life, and we mustn't. It's others first. And that's one reason I say our government leadership, that is their job. You, sir, you are the ones they're supposed to be looking out for. And so I'm saying, unless you and I set an example for them, maybe it is because the churches hasn't been as united and putting others first enough that they can see that in us. God's always telling us, let others see Jesus in you. We sing the song, let others see Jesus in you. Up in government, there's Christians that serve in there, and they have to display who he is. And so it's so important. The church is the answer to this. How many went to Sunday school this morning and saw what Amos had to say? If you did, say amen. Amen. All right, wasn't that a good lesson that Amos shared with us? If you didn't go to Sunday school this morning, you missed out on it. So go and read those Sunday school lessons. They'll jar you. They're good for us. And Amos saying to us, man, Israel, you must turn back to God. You got about 2 years here to get it done. And so did they. If you don't turn to God, then you're going to fall under God's judgment. And it's going to come like heavy water falling on you. And did it come? Yes, by way of an army. But anyhow, I'm just saying this, folks. In God's word, we are to put others first. Please, let me take these Bible verses and share a couple of places with you. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 talks about others first. I will read that. It's not on the board. I don't think we have that one on that. Nothing. Okay, hold on. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is the mind he's talking about? The submissive mind, where I put others first. Just want you to see that. Let me move on to verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation, talking about Christ now as our illustration, who and how to do this. The first illustration is Christ. The second illustration he gives us in this chapter is Paul himself. But it's Christ first. So Christ is telling us, as Paul reminds us, he is our example. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. If your daddy was the CEO and owned this large company, and this large company made millions of dollars, and they had many employees that worked with him, and this happened to be in Ocala, and so you were the CEO, your dad was a CEO, what would you want to be? If your dad was a CEO, what would you want to be? I'd want to be the vice president or the associate CEO. What do you think? That would be pretty much the best way I can make you see this. It's a very important position. But Jesus says, no, I don't want that. What I want to do is I want to be a bond servant. I want to be the one that takes the back seat, if you would. I want to be the lowly one. You see, most of the people that ever impressed you in your life was not the one that took the high seat, but the one who was willing to take the low seat. And so you were impressed by people like that because they care about you and you know it. You can have CEOs and they're very important. You need presidents and you need leaders in business. They're very important for us because if we didn't have them, we wouldn't have the businesses. For instance, let's take the grocery chain. What would we do if we didn't have any CEOs in the grocery chain and there was no one to organize it? We'd have chaos and we couldn't go to the store and buy some groceries. So I'm just saying those are important. But also the people at the low level is important as well. So here we take someone who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he says, I'm willing to be a servant model. And so the CEO of any company can take the same attitude and the same spirit that Christ did. Much like the banker that I shared with you last week. He's the president of the bank. And he saw the janitor working, and the president went and put on his overalls and went and helped the janitor in the job that he needed to do. He didn't expect that, wasn't asked to do that. It's just the humbleness, and that's the same thing that Christ wants from all of us. Put others first in your life. You may not be the CEO of a company. You may not even have a major position, but it is very important for you to do this, that we put other people in a greater position than we are. In a conversation, when you're speaking to someone, you don't know and you don't have all the answers. So God is just telling us to listen. Listen and let others speak to you. And quit being so anxious to give your opinion about something when actually we could learn more by listening. So let others, let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. That's verse 4 and 5. And let me show you what Jesus did in verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. We're talking about Jesus. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what he did was he took Jesus, who was willing to be lowly, and gave himself away for us, took the low seat. But as he did that, as he humbled himself, you see the position that God put him in. He raised him up. He raised him up and he put him in a position that was just outstanding. But he left that position. He was the Son of God. And he was in a high honor. But what's the difference between now and what he had before? What is the difference in that? that God lifted him up and gave him a place of honor again. Here's the difference. He brought us with him. Now, who is going to be there? Because you make a difference. For me to live as Christ, he said to die is gain. For you to live is Christ. Is it? For you to live means as long as you're here, then I'm blessed because you are here. Because your smiling face means I have a friend. Your face means you're there for people to reach for Christ that are around you in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school. You make a difference more than you think you do. For you to live is Christ. Yes, when you die, here's what's going to happen. You will go and receive all that God has for you. But someone will come up to you, tap you on the shoulder when you get to heaven and say, I'm here because you live for Christ. Had I not seen him alive in you, I'd never be here. Others first. That's the kind of mind that God gave us, a submissive mind. That's the kind of mind that Christ have, a submissive mind. God first, others next. God first, others next, and then me. God first, who second? Others, my friends that I work with. Hey, I were used to work, and I know what it's like with the work with other people. There's some of them that get on that nerve that just about drives you insane. When you're at work, sometimes that guy makes you want to just clench your fist and say, God, how do I get along with this? You ever had someone like that? If you had, don't say amen. And God says, that's the very one. That's the one I put in your life, but before you, to test you a little bit and just see how well you're doing. How well you're doing. How do you handle that? God wants you to display his spirit and his love and his character to that very individual that gets on your last nerve. Sometimes I think God has a real sense of humor that he would do that. But I'm telling you, he said that we're supposed to do that. Put others first. And we're to take the attitude that Christ had, and that is to be the bond servant. Remember, Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. He owned nothing. Even had to borrow a tomb to be buried in. So he didn't have anything. Became a bond servant so you and I could go to heaven and we could be put on that place where we will have it all. We will come heirs, joint heirs with Christ himself. Oh, how he loves us and the blessings that are for us. No wonder Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I'm going to say something to you guys. Listen carefully. For you to live is Christ, and for you to die is gain. Ruby McLean loved the Lord very much. She got there not by works. She got there by her faith in him. For by grace are you saved. For by grace through faith. And so that's why she gets to be in heaven today. And that's why you and I get to be in heaven today. Others first. So, therefore, God also has highly exalted Jesus, verse 9, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. Just want to make a comment here. I didn't make last Sunday. But those that says that there is no God or says that there may be a God, but I'm not bowing my knee to him. God said in here one day, my dear friend, you will. And those of you who will know some friends, some of you have tried to witness and share Christ with some of your friends and some of your family, and they want no part of that. I'm telling you something here. God is telling us in these verses, in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. On the day of the Lord, when he comes back, those of you who repent and confess Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you won't face his judgment. You won't know nothing about it. But those who never trust Christ, never repent of their sins, never believe what Christ has done for them, they will come before this judgment. And there they will confess. Every knee will bow. Those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth. Those in heaven, that's you. My friends, you have confessed him, and you will always believe in him. But there's coming a day when those who never believe that they will. They will confess he is Lord. And by then, it will be too late. You don't want to wait till the judgment day, the day of Christ, for you to say, I'll confess him then. We have today and today only to trust him and make him Lord of our life. If you know someone has not done that, you definitely need to pray that they will. You also need to talk to them personally and ask them if they would not like to pray and receive Christ into their life. If you don't do that, who's going to do it? God give you that particular situation. You prayed this Sunday or last Sunday and maybe one day this week. Lord, listen. Would you send someone across the pathway of my life that I might share Christ with? If you haven't prayed that prayer, I want to humbly encourage you to do that. People need to get saved, and they will if we'll pray for them. Please pray for someone to come across the pathway of your life that you can share Christ with them. Listen, you don't save no one. You're just going to introduce them to the one that does. You're going to introduce God to them before you ever meet them. Because when you pray for them, God will send them across that divine walkway, if you would, is what I call a divine interception, where God says, here's someone that needs me, and I'm going to use you to introduce them to me. Makes sense. So just go ahead and begin asking God about the person he wants you to talk to. And there's lots of them out there. And he wants his church to remain strong and faithful unto him. Church, I don't hear much about evangelism like we used to. And folks, we must continue to share Christ with other people. I was trying to remember what happened with me in the Ocala Eye Clinic. They call it Ocala Eye. And how many of you have ever been in there? If you don't see how many have been Ocala Eye, lots of you. Went in there, and there's the chairs pretty close, so a lot of opportunity for you. And so there was a man with a necklace on with a cross, and I asked him about that, and he told me that cross meant he loved the Lord. And I said, how do you get to heaven from here? And he said, well, I don't know about that. I said, well, you know any Bible verses? And he said, yeah, I know John 14:6. And he said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Well, can you take that verse and tell me how to get to heaven from here? And he said, no, I'm kind of new at this. I just started going to church about 6 months ago, so I don't really understand. Could you take that verse and share with someone how to get to heaven from here? Let me say it again. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. Is that true? So how to get to heaven? Through Jesus. That's easy as you can make it. John 14:6. Jesus, I'm the way. So friends, please tell people John 14:6 if you don't know anything else. And if you know John 3:16, tell them that one. Let's say it together just for the blessing of it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting. You're going to lead someone to Christ with that one too. Where am I at? Verse 11, let me move on. I got to get down to 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So what does that mean? For it is God who works in you both to will. Go back to verse 12 for me just a minute, please. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only. And as Paul's saying, you've been really good about that. But now much more in my absence, I want you to work out your own salvation with fear and tremble. So, does this mean you can work out your own salvation? Can you save yourself? Can you work and get it? And so the answer to that certainly is not. Because you got to read the next verse that goes with it. please always read verse 13 when you read verse 12. God's not talking about that you working out your own salvation. But he is means that you work out your own salvation. But what you're going to do is work out what he's working in. See that in verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So what we're saying about having the single mind, the submissive mind, putting God first and others and then yourself, all that comes from you and I letting God work. We're going to work out what he's working in. So how does God work in me anyhow? Well, he does that in three different ways. I want to share that with you. He works in you by putting his words in you. So you take God's word and you study it and you read it. You go to a Sunday school class. You've got the greatest teacher there is in the country. And there's some great ones in Oak Crest. So you go into that class and you listen to God's word. Or you take your Bible and read it for a devotion at home. But you're studying God's word. And so in order for him to work something in you that's good, he's going to take the word of God and somehow work it in you. And then he's going to work it out of you. You work it in through the word and he'll work it out. And you say, how does he work that out of me? I'm glad you asked, because I can't wait to tell you. Because I already told you, but I'm going to tell you again, okay? Here's how he's going to work out what you got in, what you worked in. So work out your salvation and got God working it in. So it's an in and out process, okay? I may have you confused as mud, but I want you to understand something. You read his word, and God has got situations that's coming to you catered especially for you. So you can let God work in your life, and then you're going to use it because others need you today. And so I've learned that God has taken this particular word and given it to me. I don't know what you learned in Sunday school 3 months ago. I don't remember, but I do know you will remember when the time is right, because the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal to you things you've learned when the time is necessary. So all those things that you think you don't know and don't know what to do, you do know, because God will reveal those things and bring them back to you at the moment that you need them. So when it says time to be patient with someone, and God will just pop that in your head just now, God's saying be patient with this individual. For instance, let me give you a good one. Some of you go to a restaurant today and you'll be so hungry when you get there, because I'll be getting let you out of here about 1 o'clock. I'm just teasing. But when you get to the restaurant, there'll be a waiter or waitress waiting on you. And you don't know, when you try to get her attention, it seems like she's never around. And she's just dropping things and not doing it right and just not serving right and giving you the hardest time. It will kick in right then. God will say to you, how should you treat this precious lady that I died on the cross for? That if I was there, I would wash her feet. She is that special to me. And how are you going to treat her? What are you going to do with her? Well, that's when God's Spirit begins to reveal to you truths that you learned. Another way that God works in our life is through prayer. You don't pray, you don't have a two-way conversation with God. But when you pray, God's going to begin revealing good things to you that you already studied through his word. And he's going to listen to what you're saying to him, and he's going to bring to you the things that you pray about. So what are you praying about? And if it's just about you, folks, you need to beef up your prayer life a little bit, okay? Yes, you need to pray about you. But you always, always want to keep the humble mind and the testimony and the example and illustration that Christ set before us. He said, others first. So you got this big meeting or this appointment or this big thing that you have to do today. And it seems like the harder you try to get to it, the more interruptions you have. It's just like one interruption after another. And this thing is a biggie. And all these little things keep getting in my way. And the more those little things get in your way, the more anxious you get. I started to say angry, but I know you don't get angry. But you get anxious. And next thing you know, you're flying off at the handle. And you're glad no one's around to hear it, right? What's all those interruptions? Why is all of that? Well, what is God trying to do with you? What is he trying to say? Life is a school, and God is trying to equip us. With all those interruptions, God said, I was just trying to make you a better feller. I was just trying to teach you some things that you needed to know. Remember what you prayed for? And a person that's watching your life could never believe what you're trying to tell us. The appointment you're about to have, you can't be honest, you can't be square because of what you just prayed. You just prayed and asked me to help you make it right. And so I'm just trying to make you see where you are. Prayer is one of the tools that God uses to make us have the submissive mind, to put us in a position that he can use us for. So anyhow, I'm saying a lot to say one thing to you, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And the third thing that he will use is hard times. He puts a little pressure on you once in a while in hard times. You have difficult days in your life. It seems like, I don't know if I can get through this today. I know Vern and Lori's going through a really difficult time in their life right now. And later on, maybe years from now, they'll give a testimony about how God worked in their life and really made them stronger in a situation like this. Folks, if you've ever had children, you know what they will do to help your life. They will help your prayer life, and they will help your faith in God. They will be an encouragement to you, and they'll teach you, if anything, how to be a good parent and a good adult. If you've never had children, adopt one, okay? And they will bless your soul. But hard times God uses to make us who he wants us to be. So we've all had them. And yes, they are difficult. If there was no valleys, we'd have no mountaintops. So we go to God and we ask him, Lord, how do I work this out? Many folks want salvation, but they don't want to change their ways. God says, you got to let me work out what I'm working in. Many folks want salvation. They want to be saved, but they don't want to change their ways. Many Christians want to walk with Christ. They got saved. They feel like they've trusted him as their Lord and Savior, but they do not want to change. But you must change. They want more benefits, some folks, to enjoy. They want less troubles and less pain. Salvation is much, much like a elevator. How many of you has ever rode an elevator and tried to get one foot in and one foot out and still ride it? You're all in or you're all out. And that's the way it is with being a Christian. You're all in or you're all out. And here's what God is saying to us. I want you to have the submissive mind. I want you to surrender to me. I want you to put other people before yourself. That's getting in the elevator and riding her up. So life is just that way. Salvation, truth. Only believe is true. All you have to do is believe. However, you have to obey what you believe. Folks, there's a theme that runs through the Bible. Actually, there's what we call the golden thread. The golden thread is the blood of Christ that runs from Genesis to Revelations. But there's another theme that runs through the Bible, and that's faith and obedience. In the Old Testament was faith and obedience. Trust God and follow through and do what he tells you to do. And it's no different today. God is going to work in our lives. What he works in, which is learning, we work out by doing. As we get organized or as we get acquainted with the Word of God, he will guide us in and through by his Holy Spirit. And when he moves in your heart, that's the moment that you're obedient. If you obey God, I trust what he tells me. I believe what he says is right. Then I must obey him. Faith and obedience. You'll see that all the time as you watch God's Word. He will bring to remembrance the very things that you've learned to do. And he'll appropriate the right time. God has circumstances already catered to fit the needs of your life. I'll move on and so I can close this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do in verse 13. For his good pleasure, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, among whom you shine as a light in the world. A light in a room makes the darkness flee. Is that true? But the darkness can flee and the light can come on and the light will shine, but the light cannot make a decision. All the light can do is reveal what's in the darkness. Guys, you are the light that God says here. You are to shine as a light to this whole world. But you cannot make a decision for the people who are in darkness. And that gets to be so frustrating at times. But what can you do? You can bring that darkness before the Lord in prayer. And you pray for that individual, and you bring that darkness into the light with your prayers, and you can testify to the light. You can let the light of Christ that shines in you be revealed to everyone that you come in contact with. They need to see the light. And Jesus says, I am the light. I'm the light to the darkness of this world. And when he wants to shine his light in the darkness, it will be you that he shines through, and you will be obedient as you do that. Verse 16, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul said, church family, listen to me. You are a precious people. You let your light so shine. And I want you to hold fast to the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. I've showed and shared with you everything I know. And all the pastors that have been at Oak Crest Baptist Church, and all the pastors that are going to come. And I'm talking about this one over here, Brother John, and all that's been before you. Don't let them down. The things they have taught you, very important that we do those things. And that's all Paul is saying to the Philippians. Just love the Lord. Let your light so shine. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 60. I don't have that on the board, but I'm going to ask you in closing. How's your light shining? Make it bright, folks. And also have a submissive mind. That is, God first, others second, and then me. Thank you, Lord, for this, your church. They are precious people. And I pray that you will be glorified in this place and all that we do together. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, would you please send someone across the pathway of my life this week that I can introduce you to them by using John 14:6 or John 3:16 or whatever verse is best for them. But please, God, let us not be afraid to share you with others that they can be saved. And then, Lord, put in the pathway of our life someone who needs us, an interruption in our life, and let us be thankful that you put them there for us and that we take the time to put them first, to be there for you on their behalf. Thank you for Oak Crest Baptist Church, and thank you for the opportunities you give us. May we continue to bring glory and honor unto you as we let our light shine. So help us work out what you work in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.